It was Ragnar the Younger, come from Ireland with a ship's crew. And though he did not know me, he embraced me, lifting me off the ground. Whirled his sister round, thumped Rorik, kissed his mother, shouted at the servants, scattered gifts of silver chain links, and petted the hounds. A feast was ordered, and that night he gave us his news, saying he now commanded his own ship, that he had come for a few months only, and that Ivar wanted him back in Ireland by the spring. He was so like his father, and I liked him immediately, and the house was always happy when Ragnar the Younger was there. Some of his men lodged with us, and that autumn they cut trees and added a proper hall to the house, a hall fit for an earl with big beams and a high gable on which a boar's skull was nailed. "You were lucky," he told me one day. We were thatching the new roof, laying down the thick rye straw and combing it flat. "Lucky? That my father didn't kill you at Jofurik." "I was lucky," I agreed. "But he was always a good judge of men," he said, passing me a pot of ale. He perched on the roof ridge and gazed across the valley. "He likes it here." "It's a good place. What about Ireland?" He grinned. "Bog and rock, Uhtred, and the Skraelings are vicious." The Skraelings were the natives. "But they fight well, and there's silver there, and the more they fight, the more silver we get. Are you going to drink all that ale? Or do I get some?" I handed him back the pot and watched as the ale ran down his beard as he drained it. "I like Ireland well enough," he said when he had finished. "But I won't stay there. I'll come back here, find land in Wessex, raise a family, get fat." "Why don't you come back now?" "Because Ivar wants me there, and Ivar's a good lord." He frightens me. "A good lord should be frightening." "Your father isn't." "Not to you. But what about the men he kills? Would you want to face Earl Ragnar the Fearless in a shield wall?" "No." "So, he is frightening," he said, grinning. "Go and take Wessex," he said, "and find the land that will make me fat." We finished the thatch, and then I had to go up into the woods because Eldwulf had an insatiable appetite for charcoal, which is the only substance that burns hot enough to melt iron. He had shown a dozen of Ragnar's men how to produce it, but Breeder and I were his best workers, and we spent much time among the trees. The charcoal heaps needed constant attention, and as each would burn for at least 3 days, Breeder and I would often spend all night beside such a pile, watching for a telltale wisp of smoke coming from the bracken and turf covering the burn. Such smoke betrayed that the fire inside was too hot, and we would have to scramble over the warm heap to stuff the crack with earth and so cool the fire deep inside the pile. We burned alder when we could get it, for that was the wood Eldwulf preferred, and the art of it was to char the alder logs, but not let them burst into flame. For every 4 logs we put into a pile, we would get 1 back, while the rest vanished to leave the lightweight, deep, black, dirty charcoal. It could take a week to make the pile. The alder was carefully stacked in a shallow pit, and a hole was left in the stack's centre, which we filled with charcoal from the previous burn. Then we would put a layer of bracken over the whole thing, cover that with thick turves, and when all was done, put fire down the central hole, and when we were sure the charcoal was alight, stuff the hole tight. Now the silent dark fire had to be controlled. We would open gaps at the base of the pit to let a little air in, but if the wind changed, then the air holes had to be stuffed and others made. It was tedious work, and Eldwulf's appetite for charcoal seemed unlimited. But I enjoyed it. To be all night in the dark, beside the warm burn, was to be a shade of Gengen. And besides, I was with Breeder, and we had become more than friends. She lost her first baby up beside the charcoal burn. She had not even known she was pregnant. But one night she was assailed with cramps and spear-like pains, and I wanted to go and fetch Sigrid, but Breeder would not let me. She told me she knew what was happening, but I was scared helpless by her agony, and I shuddered in fear throughout the dark until, just before dawn, she gave birth to a tiny dead baby boy.